too, but David Deese is someone who epitomizes, in my mind, the subject today. The subject today is diligence. And diligence, to me, involves several facts about an individual and about how they do what they do. It involves faithfulness. It involves enthusiasm. And that's one of the things that strikes me so much about David, is that he's always enthusiastic. And I'm not just trying to make him embarrassed today or try to single him out, but simply to say that as I think of diligence, there are many others who could fulfill that in many ways. But David happens to be someone who epitomizes that in my own mind. I want to thank you for being a model in this particular area of commitment and diligence and faithfulness and enthusiasm. So having said that, and having thoroughly embarrassed David, I mean, after all, if your dad had to stand up, we might as well turn the spotlight on you for a minute. Let's think for a moment what this matter of diligence is, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I love someone who's enthusiastic. In fact, all my life I have tried to be that way in my teaching and in my activities. What's the point of being otherwise? What's the point of being other than enthusiastic, other than excited about the truth of the Word of God and about the work of the kingdom, the work of Jesus Christ? I mean, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. It is better than seeing oranges and sliced. It is the most marvelous thing that God has ever allowed humankind to experience, to know Him personally, and to have the glorious privilege of sharing His Word. All of these things are precious privileges. And when something really good happens, we are just going to be shouting that word all over the place and sharing that word with everyone that we meet, because we're so excited about what has happened. And you can't go to any event or game or whatever where people are excited and not see a lot of enthusiasm. And so I would say that we have no excuse today not to be what this topic is before us. But there are, unfortunately, in every one of our lives, moments when we yield to the pressure of the circumstances and to the stresses of the moment, and we are not up. In fact, we are down, and we are not feeling enthusiastic, and we're not able to express that diligence that the Bible commands us to express. The important thing about all of these traits, the positive ones, is that they are not supposed to be something that we can simply carry out on our own, on the basis of our own human personalities and our own human wills. Now, it's true that we have different personality types, and it's true that there are those who will be more enthusiastic sort of by nature, because they have that kind of outgoing, bubbly personality. But I want you to know that if you really spend time with most folks who have that outward appearance of being always up, and you spend enough time with them in private, you're going to find that there are times when the lips are not always turned up. And sometimes they're turned straight and sometimes they're turned down, because they too, like all human beings, are subject to the vicissitudes and the difficulties that all of us face in life. And so none of these things can be done without the grace of God. None of these things can be done without God's personal enablement and through prayer. So I want to say that today as we talk about this issue of diligence. Well, to give a definition to begin with, we might say that a diligent person, thank you, Mr. Webster, is one who is characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. And diligence itself could be described as persevering application. Another good old English word that I'm sure that it may not be one of that we use every day is one who is assiduous, is one who really focuses. I think this is one of the things that's so important about those who are effective, is that they are capable of focusing their attention and their efforts and their energy toward the task. They are always on task. And I think that is an example of diligence. That particular term helps to describe diligence. A diligent person is one who applies himself or herself to the task at hand and does so with faithfulness, speediness, thoroughness, and enthusiasm. Wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. And I think those are descriptions that I think that all are associated with this matter of diligence. A believer is diligent. A believer works diligently just because he or she serves the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the primary and that is the ultimate motive for why we should be up. It is not a matter of personality. It is not a matter of temperament. It is a matter of whom we serve. I think one of the neat things to find out as we read the scripture is that God is diligent. We think of only this applying to humans. And yet the Bible describes God in the way in which he carries out his divine work as himself being diligent. One of the great passages of scripture, when we talk about faithfulness, that we all, I think, appeal to, in fact, I know it by memory, so I won't turn to it. 1 John 1:9 says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then after we become Christians, we know that we're subject to temptation. All believers, all human beings are subject to temptation, but believers are not, they don't stop being subject to temptation. But then we have a promise, and that promise is contained in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, let me go there because I think that would be worthy of taking a look at, 1 Corinthians 10:13. See if I remember from the King James. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But the key phrase is, God is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Faithfulness is the heart and core of diligence. If you have a faithful employee, you have someone who is committed and someone you can depend upon who will not stop working just because the boss isn't present. And the boss, God himself, is said to be faithful, and he does his work faithfully. Also, thoroughly. I'd like you to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. God is thorough. When he does his work, he does it faithfully, and he does it thoroughly. He doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't fail to do what he promises to do. And so we read here in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, not a word, Joshua says to the people, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. All came to pass. That's Joshua 21:45. And then you go over a couple of chapters to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23 and verse 14. This is a statement from Joshua just before his death. Joshua says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Now that's thorough. God promises something, he keeps his promise. Every single one of his promises he keeps. And he keeps them faithfully. He promises to forgive us, he forgives us. He promises to give a way out of temptation, he gives us a way out of temptation. Every time. Faithfully. Dependably. That is diligence. God himself models, epitomizes diligence. He is faithful. He is thorough. We are to be diligent. We are to be diligent. There are a number of places and ways in which we are to be diligent. The one that to my mind is key and core in terms of everything else that we do, if you want to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. When we get to Proverbs, we're going to be looking at the benefits of being diligent. And that we're going to look at that in just a moment when we look at the benefits. But now we're going to look at the areas in which we are to be diligent. That is to be found faithful, to be found committed, to be found enthusiastic. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is key and core. Verse 17, Deuteronomy 6:17. The commandment is given. It is a commandment, actually, as are all of the expectations of the Lord. They're not options. They're not suggestions. They are indeed commandments. What do we read? You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you. Over and over again, Moses said this. Over and over again, Joshua said this. And throughout the time that the prophet spoke, including the time that the Lord Jesus Himself spoke, for the very last thing that the Lord Jesus said was this matter of the thorough observation of the commandments of God contained in the Great Commission. For He says, as we go into all the world and we make disciples of all the nations, He said, we are what? We are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever, Jesus said, I have commanded you. That's complete. That's thorough. That's diligent. The Lord doesn't say, keep the commandments that please you. Keep the commandments you happen to think of. Keep the commandments when you feel like it. That is not what the Word of God says. It is complete. It is thorough. It is absolute. It says, diligently keep all of His commandments. Now, not only are we to be obedient to His Word, but for those of us who are teachers and for those of us who have a responsibility, and everyone is a teacher, by the way, because you're going to either teach a class, you're going to be teaching a spouse, you're going to be teaching a child, you're going to be teaching a disciple Lee, or you're going to be teaching someone at some point or other a truth concerning the Word of God. Well, there was a great passage in the New Testament in the book of 2 Timothy. We've done the book of 2 Timothy as a study, but I want to hone in on this one verse, 2 Timothy, another area of diligence. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In our class, we let the fingers do the walking, so we hope you'll bring your Bibles and be prepared to walk with your fingers. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The old King James had study. To show thyself approved unto God. And I remember even as a young Christian being in a meeting where someone cited this verse as a reason why we should study our Bibles. And while there are other passages in which that is the case, we're told to peruse and to study the Word of God, that's not what study in the King James English meant. Study is an old English word, which means be diligent, try hard, work hard at it. And so that's what we read here in the New King James translation as we read the following. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now there's a apart from the rest of the verse, there is a tremendous command right there. If you're going to want to do anything, it is to please God. Approved means well done. And so if you're going to be working at anything, ultimately what you care most about and what you should work hardest at is His approval. And so that's what's being said here at the beginning of 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, here it comes, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. If you've done your work and the boss shows up and he says, have you done this task? You don't have to say, I forgot. But rather, yes, here it is, it's on your desk. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Yes. Yes. That we are not ashamed. The A-N-A. Thank you. A worker who is not ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing means cutting it straight. The Greek word orthotemno, which means to... Like you're cutting a furrow in a field. You cut it, watching the end of the field carefully, a straight furrow. And so when you cut the Word of God straight, it means you don't twist the Scriptures. It means you don't distort the meaning of the Scriptures. It means you use Scripture to interpret Scripture. It means you be sure that you compare Scripture with Scripture. And in all of those ways, you cut it straight. Be diligent to explain and to teach the Word of God accurately. Make sure of that. How can you obey what is not taught clearly? Teach it clearly, and then you'll be clear about what it is that needs to be obeyed. So we are to be diligent in obeying the Word. We are to be diligent in interpreting the Word as we have just read. And going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I think I like this one. This is really something that applies to all of us, whether we're parents, grandparents, whether we are simply involved in discipling or teaching anyone. And we all are at one point or another. But Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Someone has said, in the service of the Lord, I'd rather burn out than to rust out. And I think that that is diligence. I'd rather burn out than to rust out. Deuteronomy chapter 6. May it be, Lord. Verses 6 and 7. We looked at this chapter a little bit earlier. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. By the way, I think that's a kind of a recipe for scripture memory. I take it that way. And if you don't engage in scripture memory, I encourage you to do so, because, believe me, the Holy Spirit will call it back when you need it most. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and to any others for whom you have responsibility, your grandchildren, your friends, whomever. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And then you're going to be reminded of them by putting them on your forehead and on your doorway and so on. What he's saying is that there is to be a single-minded focus in terms of sharing the truth of the Word of God. That there is to be no fear, nor favor, no withholding or holding back, no shirking of this responsibility to share the Word of God on any and all occasions. And this is made very explicit in another passage here in Deuteronomy with regard to this matter of being diligent about teaching the Word to your children. Turn to chapter 11 of Deuteronomy and verse 19, which is very graphic and very explicit, very thorough about this matter of being diligent in teaching the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19. You shall teach them, these are all the commandments, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. There is no position physically that you can take when you should not be saying, God is gracious, when you're lying down. Or when you're sitting down, God is gracious. Or when you're walking along the way, God is gracious. There is to be no situation and no position, no circumstance, when there isn't a good word from the Lord. None. And I think that that means that we are to be prattling. This is a word that we used to use about little kids, but babies. We should be prattling the Word of God. We should be gossiping the gospel. We should be sharing the Word of God with a kind of abandon and prodigality that knows no bounds. The word goes out all the time from us. That's what's being said here in this particular passage. Teach it everywhere and under all circumstances. Well, not only in obeying the word, not only in interpreting the word, not only in teaching the word, and this is a place where we hear a word from Solomon himself with regard to our work. We are to be diligent. We're going to hear from Solomon in terms of the Proverbs in just a moment about the benefit or the results. But now let's look at a principle taught by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is one I've quoted over and over again, and that came back to my mind as I was preparing this lesson. This is a wonderful admonition found here in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is with regard to our work. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes is talking about all of his observations and of the activities of people in the world. And he's particularly talking about how people carry out their work. And so he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 the following. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Never half-heartedly, always wholeheartedly, never blasé, passively, but always enthusiastically and showing that you enjoy it. I think that that's difficult to do sometimes. You know, there's some jobs that are just plain not fun. They're just dirty jobs. I mean, from changing diapers to washing dishes to, you know, I mean, it's cleaning up. We're in a fallen world. Dirt keeps happening. And so does the need to clean it up. In everything, dirt keeps happening. In our lives, dirt keeps happening. It's called sin. We're to keep cleaning it up. But the Bible says that the manner and the attitude with which we do our work should reflect our relationship to the Lord. You see, the person who has a split personality, I'm telling you, Christians can have a split personality. We're not all schizophrenic, but we can act as if we have a split personality. half of us is enthusiastic for the Lord when it comes to teaching His Word and worshiping and sharing His Word, and then when it comes to doing our work, oh. All of a sudden, the air goes out of the balloon. Where did the enthusiasm go? I love the Lord. I hate this job. That sounds like a split personality. It sounds at least like a different set of attitudes, doesn't it? And I think that this is precisely what this passage, what this topic is being talked about when it talks about this matter of diligence in our work. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, that says whatever. Dirty job, fun job, there's some that are fun. Do it with your might. Take pride, in the best sense of that term, which we talked about that in our earlier lesson on the subject of pride. That is to say, show that you serve Christ by the quality and the manner in which you go about doing your day-to-day work. That is a testimony. That is a witness. Not just with your lips, but with your life. And that's precisely what's being talked about when we talk about diligence in the case of our work. Well, turn now to the New Testament. Great passage in the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is the passage that deals with and that addresses specifically those who are in the workplace. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3. Right. That's a great mnemonic. That's a great way to remember the order. Okay. I'm going to repeat that to somebody. Galatians chapter 3. Did I say Galatians? I meant Colossians. She's got me confused here with the General Electric Power Company. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Now, it says bond servants. You say, that leaves me out. I'm not a slave. No. Bond servants meant anyone who's doing work in the workplace. And the bondservant is not someone who was just, you know, just the shoveler of dirt. The bondservant, in many cases, was a tutor to the children, a person who managed the household. In other words, this person was someone who voluntarily attached himself to a household and was willing to play that role in the ancient world. That's a role that we no longer want people to play, because we think that there's a much better way, a more God-honoring way, certainly, than having people play this kind of role. But nevertheless, this is where most people and how most people did their work in the ancient world, the majority in terms of numbers. And so it addresses bondservants willingly attaching themselves to households to do work. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters, translate that your boss or bosses, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. A person who is diligent works whether the boss is looking or not. That means not with eye service, means not just when the boss is looking. Not to impress the boss either, but rather you do it because of who you are. Who you are. It wouldn't matter who your boss was. It wouldn't matter where you worked. You would continue to operate and continue to behave in the same sort of way, with the same commitment, the same diligence, because of who you are and whose you are. So we read, verse 23. This sounds a little bit like the Ecclesiastes passage. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And so we read Paul say here in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as from the heart. With enthusiasm, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. That's a key phrase. As to the Lord and not to men. How do you get excited about something that's a dirty job? Because ultimately, you're here to serve Jesus Christ. And in doing that task, you are serving Jesus Christ by modeling to the world, whether that world is your family, whether that world are colleagues in a workplace, whether that world is somebody who's just looking on, you're modeling in the world your relationship and what it means to be a child of God and how that transforms your life and how that transforms your attitude and your behavior in every possible circumstance. There is no such thing as a Christian sluggard. But there is such a thing as a Christian enthusiast. Now, there are Christians who can be sluggards on occasion and act slothfully on occasion. We talked about this last week when we talked about laziness, and we have the tape on laziness, because somebody was diligent about preparing the tape on laziness. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Why? Because you serve not only the reward, verse 24, that tells us, yes, down to verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you, here's the phrase, for you serve the Lord Christ. Who's your boss? Jesus. Who's your senior partner? Jesus, God. The important thing is to have in the frontal lobe of your mind, in your consciousness, the awareness of the fact of who is your boss. And the most universal, the most ubiquitous fact about the workplace is gossip. That is among informally among employees, and usually the chief carvee of the gossip is the boss. Just as in a church situation, sadly, the chief carvee is the pastor. You know, there ought not to be that kind of verbal behavior. There ought not to be slackness in one's behavior, because we serve the Lord Christ. He's our boss. He's our senior partner. He's our Lord. He's our Heavenly Father. He's all of those things. And we should be diligent about seeking to please Him in our work. Now, go back to the book of Deuteronomy. If you keep your fingers exercised today. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We were just there, weren't we? You say, why didn't we stay there? Because there are different topics. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we're to be diligent. This is key as being diligent in the study of the Word of God and diligent in the interpretation of the Word of God. This is absolutely key in terms of our obeying God, and that's found here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God half-heartedly. I misread that. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Does that sound diligent and enthusiastic to you? It does to me. There's nothing half-hearted about serving God with everything you've got. We're to be diligent in our worship, as we are to be diligent in our work, as we are to be diligent in our study, in our teaching, in our interpretation of the Word of God, in our obedience to the Word of God. In every case, in every one of those cases, the Scriptures is saying to us, apply yourself, apply yourself, apply yourself. That's diligence. Now go to the book of Proverbs for another area in which we are to be diligent, and this is key. We've talked about all of these things like worship, the study of the Word of God, but you know, we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a vacuum. We live in a fallen world in which we are subject to the onslaughts of the evil one, to the influences of a corrupt world, to the residue of our own sinful nature, yet staying around until the final day when we meet the Lord. All of these things are facts about us, which means that we are in a state of constant warfare. In a state of constant warfare in this world, while we're in this world. So the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. This is warfare. This is where the rubber meets the road in our lives. And notice the admonition in verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You don't get careless. You don't get slack when it comes to where you operate in your day-to-day life in terms of how you deal with the enemy. If there is eternal vigilance required, and that is the price for freedom, that is also the price that must be paid if we're going to maintain our testimony, if we're going to be pleasing to the Lord, the price is eternal vigilance. And that means diligence about watching and caring for your heart. Your heart is going to get attacked. your spirit is going to get attacked by the enemy and by those whom the enemy influences. Daily. No one is immune. No one is immune. We're all subject to attack. So that means that we're needing, if that is true, and it's always the case that all of us will be under attack, then we always need to be diligent and watch out for our hearts. Watch out for what's insidiously infecting our hearts that may cause our hearts to become less enthusiastic and less committed to the Lord. What are the things that take you away from the Lord? We all know what they are. The things that dilute your enthusiasm in your service for the Lord, we all know what they are. Guard your heart diligently. Now, that leads us in that regard to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, doesn't it? You said, of course. Should have known, but you go right back the other way. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 13. Where we have this need for guarding our hearts, that is the warfare in which we are engaged, to be done with a great deal of attention and carefulness. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, the preface to this whole issue of the armor of God. It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And by the way, I'm so glad that Willie quoted James 5, because part of what we are armed with is prayer. And James says what? The effectual, fervent, fervent, fervent.